Should be. You're supposed to be. You believe Satan's taken over yet? You should, because you're supposed to. Can't you see? This is the plan. This is the organization that is causing all this strife. They want you to be angry. They want you to be mad. They want you to be focused on the economy, the crashing of the republic, and the fact that you are all slaves. They want you angry about this. Hey, they're constantly adding more and more to the story so that you will get more and more angry, more and more upset about the things going on around you. So what do we do? What is the solution if they are out there trying to make you angry at every turn? I mean, come on. The Obamas are planting a garden while the legislation is passing laws saying you can't have a garden. People are going hungry, losing their homes, being kicked out in the streets, and they're throwing million-dollar parties at the White House. This is supposed to make you angry. That's the whole goal. Everything, you know, from when I started to outline the W. And I said, look, you know, this is psychological warfare. This is supposed to make you angry. Started with Bill Clinton. I'm taking down the man, and then railroading the W in there through Jeb Bush. That was, you were supposed to know about this. You were supposed to be angry. You were supposed to lose all sight of life as you knew it. It's quite obvious once you see it. And then people say to me, well, what am I supposed to do? I am angry. I want to grab my guns and my gold, and I want to go and kill, and I want to put people behind bars, and there needs to be vengeance, and let's get them, let's get them. Now, when you're out there screaming, kill all the fanatics, you better realize that you are now one. Kill all the fanatics! Yeah, that's you. Ah, yeah. So where do we go? How do we learn? What do we do to change the scenario? Well, you can see plainly that you're supposed to be retaining a certain amount of data. You're supposed to be informed on these certain levels. And these levels are how they are raping you, how they are robbing you, how they are controlling you. These are all the things you're supposed to be thinking about and know about. This is the news they report to you. This is the news that comes through Christian Patriot programming. It's like, be angry and serve your church. I mean, you know, it's a curious place that I'm in. I'm in the middle of all this. I'm in between. I'm not a Christian nor a patriot. I am just a free-loving human being running around on planet Earth. But I know they're trying to make us angry. And it's not simply the politics, economics, legislation, and all of the other sorcery that they use to make us all frightful beings to submit to their rule. There's more. We have the high-tech onslaught going on where we are being hit with scalar weaponry and chemtrails. Now, I mean, some people are coming into this movement now and they're going, yeah, I see chemtrails. They're everywhere. Yeah? All right, well, let's get caught up. We got a long way to go from chemtrails, I'll tell you what. You know, we've been talking about these things for a decade now. As I like to mention often, you know, I had the author of Weather Wars on, and he didn't want to talk about chemtrails anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm talking about it for a decade now. Let's move on. What did he do? He offered me the information that the Palladians had given him through these books known as what was it, The New Paradigm, Becoming, and Rainbow, written by the Palladians and published by ex-Bilderberger George Green. How strange this all goes. I come out here and I try to highlight the miraculous. I try to keep you in a state of wonder so that you're not in this fight or flight status. You're not acting out of your reptilian brain, but you're starting to come to a sense of wonder, and with wonder, possibilities. None of us want to go back to the way it was. Nobody wants to be. I mean, come on. Do you really want to go work at some retail store slopping out stuff to people over a cash register? I mean, come on. This is not the life the human wants. We're creators. We love to create. We can't help it. When you finally see my Hannah Montana video, which I guarantee will come out before the Hannah Montana the movie, you'll start to see just, you know, some of the insanity that goes into the capitalistic structure. And these guys don't even need money. I mean, we're talking about Walt Disney here. And they are putting out, over 200 separate Hannah Montana products. Just wait till you see it. It's going to blow your mind. And I wonder what you'll get from it. I wonder what people will get from seeing it. Because really, I haven't outlined or databased or classified the argument at all. Just going to show it. Maybe it'll become more. It takes a lot of work to make these damn videos. You know, I don't have an office. I don't have a staff. It's just Freeman. It's just me sitting here, you know, traveling around the nation, getting film footage, trying to put it together. It's just me. I get a lot of offers for help, and I do have a great film that I'm just waiting to make, but I want to get the book done first because it seems like you're nobody without it. So I have to get that done, and it will be done very shortly. The Sorcerers of Atlantis, very excited about that. Now here again, you know, the fact that I have to put out a piece of plastic in order to exist on planet Earth is it bugs the hell out of me. I hate the fact that I have to create plastic and sell it to you. But I do. You know, if I want to keep the show going, if I want to keep eating, I have to create plastic. How many of those just end up out in the trash somewhere? Or, you know? Anyway, I hate it. I really don't like the way our structure is. And, you know, when I start to look at the sorcerers and I'm constantly coming back to the corporatists of Freemasonry, it's not that. It's just the fruits of their labor that I am judging. That's it. So none of us wants to go back. None of us wants to get back into what was. And then that's an impossibility on top of it. There's just no possible way that we can go backwards. We have moved forward. And our military-industrial complex has moved forward dramatically. So now they've got you in a state of being where they want you to be angry about everything. They're doing everything to cause frustration and anger out of you. You know, these bailouts, AIG bonuses, that's supposed to make you angry. That's what it's there for. All of it, you know, and now people protesting out at the G20. And of course, what do they have? Agent provocateurs out there to make you angry. I've been to a number of these protests. I really have. Spent 9 days out in front of Bill Clinton's White House back in 93, protesting the loss of public lands, our national lands becoming federal parks. 9 days I stayed out there, and what did I do? I fed homeless people the whole time I was there. Oh, the rainbow. They're going to be a very important force in your life, I guarantee, coming soon. Because they're ready for this type of scenario. I bet they're out there feeding those people in California right now, because that's what the rainbow love to do. And they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. When I go to Kerrville here in Texas, the closest thing you can get to in rainbow in Texas, there are hundreds of people out there just working their butts off. Not getting paid. They don't get paid a dime. They're doing it because they love it. I don't get paid to be here. You think I got the money to pay rent this month? No. You know, I always just hope maybe something will come together. But I have to get rescued often. I don't make money. I don't do this for money. I do it because God has led me to it, as far as I term, God. And because I feel it's important. And I get such wonderful messages from all of you. I mean, that's a critical factor right there. You know, people writing me saying, hey, you know, I'm starting to catch on to this synchronicity. I totally see it. I understand. And I'm so glad to hear that there's others out there that think like me. That's why I'm out there. Really out there. I like to keep wonder going on planet Earth. Because as long as you're in a state of wonder, you're not in a state of fight and flight. You're not thinking that you know it all, and you don't think that you've got all the answers, and you can start to dream. You can start to create and use your creative play to start to create a new paradigm. Now, perhaps you need someone like the Palladians to outline it for you, and you go read the Handbook for a New Paradigm. And well, I don't know. There was something about that book. I could never get through it. There was just something that just blocked me from its information. And I have my questions, my doubts about things that are involved with that book. And I see a lot of the New Age movement. And there again, another trap. Every time we start looking for solutions, there's always another trap waiting for you. The New Age. These guys. I mean, honestly, when I start to look at people that are presenting me with information, I say, well, would I want this person in charge? Would I want Alex Jones in charge of my planet? Hell no. Would I want Tex Mars? No. Would I want any of them, you know, all of the people that I see that are out there bullying for right and justice. Those aren't the people I want in charge. This is how they foment war. This is how they've always done it. They come in and they anger the people about the particular issues they want you to be angered about, and then they guide you right along in your reactionary stance. It seems so simple. Why do we fall for it every time? But then, what is the solution, people say? What can I do right now? Where can we go to find an answer? I'm ready to kill. I mean, that's ready. I hear this often. And I try to tell people, well, the time is not right yet. I want to do something now. You're not going to be able to do anything now. Until the situation is put in front of you, until it's your turn, there really is nothing you can do except for try to raise your own vibration, try to keep yourself in a happy, creative state, even when the world's crashing around you. And then, when your time comes, when that moment for you arrives, then you can act, and you won't be acting out of this reactionary stance. You'll be acting out of a somewhat balanced vibration, I have to say somewhat, because you're fighting against forces that are just greater than just even mankind. We got technological forces causing us emotional instabilities. We got drugs and everything else, and the fluoride and the water and all the other stuff that are causing us to be diseased. So, but like I say, there are those that are out there. They're already there. They're ready for this. The Rainbow Warriors, the kind-hearted souls, all of them out there, ready for the scenario to fall apart and ready to pick you up when you have been smitten. There are plenty of us ready to take action in a positive stance. So where do we go from here? What is the solution? Dun, dun, dun. Well, we don't know yet. And honestly, if you were to leave it up to an intuitive guidance, I think that you would come up with a lot better situation. Because there's going to be solutions offered. Zeitgeist is a classic example. Boy, did people take to that. Now they have Z-Day. I mean, come on. This is driving me crazy. The Venus Project. Take one look at it. Take one simple look and notice what's missing out of the picture. People. We have put our technology above and beyond the spiritual aspects of humanity. There's no people. They don't talk about us. They don't talk about that. You go out to a rainbow gathering, you see all the tribes come together. You see every race and religion coexisting, cohabitating the same place, without fear, without prejudice, without anger. It's not really the belief systems that cause us so much strife. It's that we're constantly barraged with problems that are manufactured for us to react to. Very simple. So yeah, I'll come out and talk about Barakanaten and asteroids and chuckle about it a bit, you know? Because that's where we need to be. We gotta have just a bit of a chuckle in us. That's all there is to it. So I was looking at this article on what was it? Shutting the lights down. I should have these articles up before me. For me, Radio Freeman's just time for me to talk with you guys. I'll bring all the articles and everything out on the free zone on Oracle Saturdays. And yeah, I'm still alive and I'm still doing the show. I missed 2 weeks. I had to go on the Edge AM. I highly recommend going to listen to that show. I think it was a good one. It's up on the front page of FreemanTV.com right now. And I had, last week, the week before, just some crazy mishaps that kept me from getting back home. So that, you know, I come out here on Radio Freeman and I just want to talk to you. That's all there is to it. I want you to know that there are others out here thinking like you. I want you to know that there are lots of people that write to me and say, hey, you know, I understand. And I see the same problem as you do. I'm so glad that there's a voice out here saying these things. And so I'm glad. I'm really glad because that's my only goal. I was once told my voice cures autism. I don't know. Am I working miracles? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I want to speak to the youth. I want to speak to the old. I want to speak to those that are involved. Any one of you. Because if we want, the cage door is open. Bird cage is open. All we got to do is fly out. But no one believes that. No one can accept that. And that's one of the issues with this type of thought, this synchronistic message, is that until you experience it yourself, it's not real. People can tell you about this all day long. Until you see it, until you experience it. Personal significance of a coincidental event. Then you know. Then you know the universe is alive, working in your favor, and there's more going on planet Earth than we understand. But it's going to get strange, folks. There's no doubt about it. And you know, some people are grabbing a hold and saying, all right, well, if the wave's coming, I'm going to grab my surfboard and go now. And that's great because you'll be prepared. You'll already have the flow going when the stuff hits the fan. And that's awesome. But it is getting harder and harder and stranger out there. And honestly, I don't even know. I haven't been out on the road for a bit. I don't know how hard it is now, because certainly the iron fist was closing. There are ways, and you'll notice that you'll even have miraculous powers, powers of invisibility, powers to make yourself not noticed, powers to walk through places that you thought you could never do. And you should practice. You should definitely practice this. And as far as browbeating other people trying to get this information into their heads, you know, just plant seeds. That's all that you can do. And the more you hit people with it, the more angry and frightened they become. So definitely keep an eye out on their reactions. I see a lot of people talk without being empathetic or sympathetic to the reaction of the person. And you really got to be careful with people's psyches. Can't just hit them with all this bad news, especially if you don't have any good news to offer. Now, you can keep it creative, you can keep it fun, you can talk about crazy ass things like a clone president. That's all right. That leaks keeps it intriguing, and then they want to look more, they want to understand more. Now, I'll tell you, I listened to I listen to Christian Patriot Radio some. You know, I'm being in Austin, I can't avoid Alex. So I listen. I'm driving around, and I hear all the fear and anger he's spreading. And I love it when him and Webster Tarpley are talking, and Alex is like, yeah, we got to put them all in prison. And Webster's like, well, no, let's just do away with derivatives and end foreclosures. I'm like, yeah, there you go, Webster. You know, he's almost got the sight that I have, because I see it all as just one giant farce and could be eliminated with a mere thought. It is merely a faith-based system, and all you got to do is change the faith. And I don't want to be a prison guard. I don't want to be someone who's sitting there making sure all of these people are put into prison and guarded and held and all of that. No, man. And honestly, I don't blame any of them. I can't. I mean, poor W. That guy, you know, he never wanted to be up there. Yeah. Well, let's go back to a little more music and let me compose some more thoughts for you, and we'll take this a little deeper and be right back.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels.
My goal is not to get back to the way things were. That's not something I have ever wanted or considered to be even feasible. it's my goal to help spawn a new reality. I really feel like I came here for a reason and a purpose, and, you know, I've been tracking this odd story throughout my entire existence. A story that seems to have been embedded in my soul, and then has come to light through study. How did I know all these things? I don't know. How is it that I was drawing that picture at 10 years old that seemed to outline the galactic history of planet Earth? I don't know. Have I been abducted all my life and shown things? Possibly. Definitely felt that way after the big flying rectangle incident, and it was just after that that I started seeing things more clearly and predicting world events and such. Possibly. There's definitely more going on planet Earth than we know or accept. And, as Einstein so aptly put, cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. And obviously, this problem has been created out of restriction. Obviously, it's been created through instilling mind pattern programming. It has been used to curtail the craftiness, the creativeness of the human species, and guide them in a single line, in an agenda. Now, some of the bigger questions that come from thoughts like this are, why would someone devote their entire life to an agenda they won't see come fulfilled? Why would H.W. work so hard for a new world order when he knows he's going to die before it's ever created? Or definitely not live to enjoy the fruits of his labor. And you begin to wonder about these contacts that they have, these extraterrestrial, extra-dimensional beings, and who they are contacting, and just who's keeping the agenda going over millennia. How does this occur? And of course, all the things that have been written out of reality, the inner Earth, subterranean beings, which are two separate things, you should realize that. The inner Earth and the subterranean realms are two different places. Both have been shown to us scientifically, and yet written out of common theory. That's why when I work on my articles and I work on my stories, I'm not focusing on these political games. I know there's enough people out there doing that. Lord knows, you can turn on enough Patriot Radio to learn all you need to know about the nefarious dealings of the elite and the New World Order. One thing that these guys aren't paying attention to is the extraterrestrial side of the whole story, and so I want to make sure that that's where I highlight it, at the height of this avant-garde of technology. Because that's going to become a really big deal here soon. There's no doubt about it. So that's where I like to keep your minds and keep you thinking up on the front lines of this idea, because the next thing is Mars. Russia and China will be working on launching a new Phobos mission. And this is going to become a bigger deal. And I often wonder if they will release the idea, the understanding that life existed on Mars. And I'm talking about sentient life, perhaps most likely human life, on Mars. Will they tell us? They've definitely been hinting at it, and it's on Fox News, and, you know, I'm always, to me, everything is contrived, okay? There is nothing out there that's not supposed to be out there. I don't think Glenn Beck's telling you the truth. I don't think Fox News is leading you to information, except for what they want you to know and what you to think about. So if they're promoting these concepts, these ideas, then I feel that they are going to become important later. And Mars has definitely been one of the ones that has been attracting a lot of so-called non-mainstream media. And it definitely is going to become a thing. Sorry, I'm rambling. All right, let's get some data you can use. All right, this is from Michael Cremo's tome, Forbidden Archaeology. It's going to take me years to get through this damn book. But just some of the anomalous features and some of the things that we can think about for life on planet Earth. Now, let's consider a shoe sole from Nevada in the Triassic period. On October 8, 1922, the American Weekly section of the New York Sunday American ran a prominent feature titled Mystery of the Petrified Shoe Sole, 5 Million Years Old, by Dr. W.H. Ballou. Some time ago, when he was prospecting for fossils in Nevada, John T. Reed, a distinguished mining engineer and geologist, stopped suddenly and looked down in utter bewilderment and amazement at a rock near his feet. For there, a part of the rock itself, was what seemed to be a human footprint. Closer inspection showed that it was not a mark of a naked foot, but was apparently a shoe sole, which had been turned into stone. The forepart was missing, but there was the outline of at least two-thirds of it, and around this outline ran a well-defined sewn thread, which had, it appeared, attached the welt to the sole. Now that is in the Triassic period, so 5 million years ago, soled shoes found fossilized. Let's keep going. This is a great book, by the way, if you guys, it's a long read, it's very dry, it's well documented, but let's go back on. I was on Oracle Unplugged last Saturday night around midnight, and the show before that, Josh Rees and the Global Reality, was discussing the rock wall in Rockwall, Texas. I had intended to go and investigate this while I was visiting King Tut's display in Dallas, but I did not make it, and I should have known Josh was on top of it. Josh Rees, Global Reality, great show. So, in Forbidden Archaeology, we have yet another rock wall of Texas, this one in Abilene, where W.W. McCormick reported his grandfather's account of a stone block wall that was found deep within a coal mine. In the year 1928, Atlas Allman Mathis was working in a coal mine, number 5, located 2 miles north of Heavener, Oklahoma. This was a shaft mine, and they told us it was 2 miles deep. The mine was so deep that they let us down into it on an elevator. They pumped air down on us. It was so deep. One evening, Mathis was blasting coal loose by explosives in room 24 of the mine. The next morning, said Mathis, there were several concrete blocks laying in the room. These blocks were 12-inch cubes and were so smooth and polished on the outside that all 6 cubes could serve as mirrors. All 6 sides could serve as mirrors. Yet they were full of gravel, because I chipped one of them open with my pick, and it was plain concrete inside. As I started to timber the room up, it caved in, and I barely escaped. When I came back after the cave-in, a solid wall of these polished blocks was left exposed. About 100 to 150 yards farther down our air core, another miner struck the same wall, or a very similar one. The coal mine was probably Carboniferous, which would mean the wall was at least 286 million years old. Going on. Further discoveries. 1968, discovery of a semi-ovoid metallic cube, or tube, excuse me, semi-ovoid metallic tubes of identical shape but varying size in crustaceous chalk. The chalk bed exposed in the quarry of Saint-Jean-de-Livet, France, is estimated to be at least 65 million years old. So you understand what's going on here. We're talking about Homo sapien, crafty, creative human beings 358 million years ago. That's a long time. That's a long time for humans to have been running around planet Earth. Okay, we have 213 million years ago, sole of a shoe. Oh, but there's more. The groove sphere of South Africa. These were shown to be 2.8 billion years ago, and they are South African miners have found hundreds of metallic spheres, at least one of which has three parallel grooves running around its equator. The spheres are two types, one of solid bluish metal with white flecks, and another which is hollow, filled with a white spongy center. They look man-made, but they're 2.8 billion years old. There's nothing scientific that's been published about them, but these spheres are so strong, such dense material, that it cannot be cut with a iron instrument. And yet these grooves are there. 2.8 billion years ago, mankind running around on planet Earth, creating things. Now, some of these things are very curious indeed. And I often think of Daniel Quinn and his story of the leavers and the takers. And, you know, if there was a humanity, well, I mean, if it was 2.8 billion years ago, then there wouldn't be much of their civilization left to show. But if you have a group of leavers, people that are living in harmony with the planet, then you're not going to find massive structures or things of that nature that will show you that they existed in the first place. You will find clues such as these listed in Forbidden Archaeology. Very, very interesting read. And so once you start to consider this, then you can start to put a little more perspective on life on planet Earth as we know it, because it's gone back a whole lot longer than we think. Now, people date the pyramids, and old Zahi Hawass was at the Dallas Museum of Art just the day after I was there. I wish I could have stayed another day so I could have seen that, because it turned out Laura and George Bush showed up for Zahi's lecture. Curious. This man, he still stands by the 3500 dating of the pyramid for 3500 BC to Khufu. When I went to University of Kansas, Kansas University, to study ancient architecture, and right there they told us that the dating of the pyramid to Khufu at 3500 BC was a known fraud. It was open discussion in the classroom, no worries. Yeah, the Freemason, Colonel Howard Weiss, sent his own man up there to paint the name of Khufu inside the wall, inside the pyramid. Misspelt the name, but he used a type of paint that was indigenous to the area and could not be properly dated because it was made of clay. And he wrote the name of Khufu, misspelling it, which is highlighted in that movie, Stargate. The very same topic, and it's the truth. It was a Freemason known as Colonel Weiss, and he wanted to make a name for himself. He wanted to become a Nephilim, or a man of renown. And so he fraudulently dated the pyramids. But yet, now we have the Supreme Chancellor of Antiquities, Zahi Hawass, who, you know, stands behind this dating. You still see it on the History Channel, you still see it on, whatever, Discovery. But it's not true. Or at least that's what they taught me at the university. And it seemed that they had plenty of evidence and many corroborating scientific people saying that, you know, the dating of the pyramid is a fraud. So life on planet Earth goes back much further than we think. Much, much further. And we have been around for a long, long time. And so life and the generation of the structures of life, society and civilization and whatnot, have also been around for a long, long time. Now imagine the advantage you would have if you were a high technological race that came in on a planet or existed on a planet that suffered a major catastrophe such as the one that happened on Earth, which was about 13,000 years ago. If you still had your high technology, you would reign supreme. And this seems to be the point where they want to be at now. We seem to be in the same case scenario. Another catastrophe in the waiting, and they are preparing and ready to become gods. in the aftermath. Same story over and over. And a Battlestar Galactica. I don't know. I'm going to tear that last episode apart here sometime soon and discuss all of the correlations between that and reality. It's a very curious study for sure. You know, Battlestar Galactica is based on the Mormon creation myth of extraterrestrial humans coming to Earth, following their gods, following their intuitions, having to fight off the Cylons that they created. And it's so funny because we're so close to that same part. So, how many of you have ever heard of the Urantia book? It's a very, very curious book, and I would recommend it as well. Now, if you tried to read the Urantia book in Forbidden Archaeology, you better have a couple of years set aside. These books are thick. But now, the Urantia book is just an amazing thing. It's an amazing book. It is compiled by angels and put out under no other name other than the Urantia Foundation. There is no author. And it was written back, I think it was 1957. Let me double check on that. 55. And this book, basically, is a retelling of the Bible from a 21st century or 20th century perspective. It is so in-depth, and it is so well connected and outlined that you can't help but think it was channeled by some angelic force, because the story told in this book is beyond understanding that we have right now. It gets so deep into it. I did try to do a show on this, but it got lost. Maybe I can get some people from the Urantia Foundation to come back on the show and discuss it, because it's amazing. And it's just got a plain blue cover. It's just the plain blue book, and basically it is the blue book that supposedly is sitting on the Pentagon shelves, on the CIA shelves, and is the reason that Project Blue Book was known as Project Blue Book, because of this little blue book, the Urantia book, which seems to have the symbols of Atlantis. And of course, with Urantia, I wouldn't doubt it, because, you know, the Sumerians and Ur, and the whole concept of the Watchers coming down and staying in Ur, and the symbol, the double ring, triple ringed circle, what would you call that, is definitely how Atlantis is described in its makeup. So we get to paper 54, Problems of the Lucifer Rebellion. Evolutionary man finds it difficult fully to comprehend the significance and to grasp the meaning of evil, error, sin, and iniquity. Man is slow to perceive the contrastive perfection and imperfection produce potential evil. Let's say that again. Man is slow to perceive the contrastive perfection and imperfection produce potential evil. I don't know. That one doesn't seem to make sense to me. That conflicting truth and falsehood create confusing error. That the divine endowment of free will choice eventuates in the divergent realms of sin and righteousness. That the persistent pursuit of divinity leads to the kingdom of God, as contrasted with its continuous rejection, which leads to the domains of iniquity. The gods neither create evil nor permit sin and rebellion. Potential evil is time existent in a universe embracing differential levels of perfection, meanings, and values. Sin is potential in all realms where imperfect beings are endowed with the ability to choose between good and evil. The very conflicting presence of truth and untruth, fact and falsehood, constitutes the potentiality of error. The deliberate choice of evil constitutes sin. The willful rejection of truth is error. The persistent pursuit of sin and error is iniquity. Truth, true and false liberty. Of all the perplexing problems growing out of the Lucifer Rebellion, none has occasioned more difficulty than the failure of immature evolutionary mortals to distinguish between true and false liberty. True liberty is the quest of the ages, and the reward of evolutionary progress. False liberty is the subtle deception of the error of time, and the evil of space. Enduring liberty is predicated on the reality of justice, intelligence, maturity, fraternity, and equity. Liberty is a self-destroying technique of cosmic existence when its motivation is unintelligent, unconditioned, and uncontrolled. True liberty is progressively related to reality and is ever regardful of social equity, cosmic fairness, universal fraternity, and divine obligations. Liberty is suicidal when divorced from material justice, intellectual fairness, social forbearance, moral duty, and spiritual values. Liberty is non-existent apart from cosmic reality, and all personality reality is proportional to its divinity relationships. Unbridled self-will and unregulated self-expression equal unmitigated selfishness, the acme of ungodliness. Liberty without the associated and ever-increasing conquest of self is a figment of egoistic mortal imagination. Self-motivated liberty is a conceptual illusion, a cruel deception. License masquerading in the garments of liberty is the forerunner of abject bondage. True liberty is the associate of genuine self-respect. False liberty is the consort of self-admiration. True liberty is the fruit of self-control. False liberty, the assumption of self-assertion. Self-control leads to altruistic service. Self-admiration tends towards the exploitation of others for the selfish aggrandizement of such a mistaken individual as is willing to sacrifice righteous attainment for the sake of possessing unjust power over his fellow beings. Even wisdom is divine, and safe only when it is cosmic in scope and spiritual in motivation. There is no error greater than that species of self-deception which leads intelligent beings to crave the exercise of power over other beings for the purpose of depriving these persons of their natural liberties. The golden rule of human fairness cries out against all such fraud, unfairness, selfishness, and unrighteousness. Only true and genuine liberty is compatible with the reign of love and the ministry of mercy. How dare the self-willed creature encroach upon the rights of his fellows in the name of personal liberty, when the supreme rulers of the universe stand back in merciful respect for those prerogatives of will and potentials of personality? No being in the exercise of his supposed personal liberty has a right to deprive any other being of those privileges of existence conferred by the creators and duly respected by all their local loyal associates, subordinates, and subjects. Evolutionary man may have to contend for his material liberties with tyrants and oppressors on a world of sin and iniquity and during the early times of a primitive evolving sphere, but not so on the Maruntia worlds or on the spirit spheres. War is the heritage of early evolutionary man. But on worlds of normal advancing civilization, physical combat as a technique of adjusting racial misunderstandings has long since fallen into disrepute. This book is amazing. It really is. When you start to get into it deeper and deeper, it'll start to just really boggle your mind, and there's concepts within it that my brain's not ready to handle. But yet they're there, they kind of jibe, they fill my cell, they kind of give me knowledge where I don't even know where it's coming from. So let's go a little bit further into the theft of liberty. Now, let's see. With the sun and in the spirit did God project eternal Havona. And ever since has there obtained the eternal pattern of coordinate participation in creation, sharing. This pattern of sharing is the master design for every one of the sons and daughters of God who go out into space to engage in the attempt to duplicate in time the central universe of eternal perfection. Every creature of every evolving universe who aspires to do the Father's will is destined to become the partner of the time-space creators in this magnificent adventure of experiential perfection attainment. Were this not true, the Father would have hardly endowed such creatures with creative free will, neither would he indwell them, actually go into partnership with them by means of his own spirit. Lucifer's folly was the attempt to do the non-doable, to short-circuit time in an experiential universe. Lucifer's crime was the attempted creative disenfranchisement of every personality in Satania, the unrecognized abridgment of the evolutionary struggle to attain the status of light and life, both individually and collectively. In so doing, this one-time sovereign of your system set the temporal purpose of his own will directly athwart the eternal purpose of God's will, as is revealed in the bestowal of free will upon all personal creatures. The Lucifer rebellion thus threatened the maximum possible infringement of the free will choice of the ascenders and servers of the system of Santania, a threat forevermore to deprive every one of these beings of the thrilling experience of contributing something personal and unique to the slowly erecting monument to experiential wisdom, which will sometime exist as the perfected system of Santania. Sorry. Thus does the Lucifer Manifesto, masquerading in the habiliments of liberty, stand forth in the clear light of reason as a monumental threat to consummate the theft of personal liberty, and to do it on a scale that has been approached only twice in all the history of Nebadon. In short, what God has given men and angels, Lucifer would have taken away from them, that is, the divine privilege of participating in the creation of their own destinies and of the destiny of this local system of inhabited worlds. No being in all the universe has the rightful liberty to deprive any other being of true liberty, the right to love and be loved, the privilege of worshiping God and of serving his fellows. That is really how I see the system as it is set up, you know. The system that is trying to take your liberty by selling your liberty. When I say that the magicians of the Constitution only crafted that to take it away, why does a magician manifest something but to make it disappear? They define your rights so that they can remove them. They teach you of death so that they can sell you salvation. They have done everything in their power to remove your creative ability to participate in the creation of your evolutionary process. They have defined what life would be and all that it can be, and have limited you to only their concepts. You find out that the very dictionary that we get our terms and therefore our concepts from is written by the Freemasons. If you think the Bible is out there to spare you, then you must realize who it is that created the printing press that made sure that book was in front of everyone. The Masons. These are forms of mind control, and if you can't question your own reality, then you are under mind control. I think I've probably given you definitions of Lucifer six ways coming, but it's a very curious study. I still want to understand, and that's why we are open to discussing it, open to debating it, open to finding the truth, so that we may have our own potential liberty, our own free love, to craft and create the very universe that we want to see, and to cohabitate on this planet with numerous cultures and exist in harmony without having to produce a piece of plastic to do so. I would happily go out every day and tend to the garden out in front of my house if I had one, a garden or a house. People don't tend to take care of things that are not theirs, so the more that we become renters, the less things are going to get beautiful. Who wants to invest in something they don't own? No one. I've seen this. But there are those out there who are feeling the evolutionary change, who are feeling the new world coming, and they're letting the old ones slip away without fear. And they are here to lend a helping hand, and I know all of you are out there now listening to me, because that's who is attracted to me. And we will be there to help a lending hand when things go down, and to lift a brother up, and a sister, and a loved one. We will be there to give you food when you need it, and to give you a hug, because that's what's most necessary. Once you realize that all of this is stemmed from trauma-based mind control, everything out there is there to make you angry and upset, so that you are in a reactionary state, then you learn that the only solution, the only salvation from this type of trauma is safety. So the more that you go out and you provide for others, the more that you care and take care of others, the more the world will heal. And we can start this evolutionary process heading for a creative existence. So I hope more and more of you will be ready and don't be chomping at the bit to grab your guns and your gold and go kill and bring justice and vengeance on planet Earth, because that is not going to bring you any solutions and not going to bring you a happy planet. Always consider what you want the outcome to be, and that way you won't be misled. That's all I've got for you guys this week. We'll get more into this, and maybe I'll get some experts on the Urantia to talk about that, because it is so deep, it is so intense. But let's start to understand our new reality, because as we go forward, the more we go back, and the more we learn about our ancient past, the more we learn about what's going on planet Earth today. So until next week, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. I have to pick it up, Jack, because, well, you've been dumped. I actually meant to get into some of that today. But we'll cover that on the Oracle, I bet. So until next week, it's free. Sign it. Before we see it, you take it. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. Make me wanna holler the way they do my life. This ain't living, this ain't living. No, no, baby, this ain't living. No. Inflation, no change. To increase finance, bills pile up, sky high. Send that boy off to die. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. Yeah, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. I can't pay my taxes.